ask that you be with us this day and be with people around the world. We ask this day that you look kindly upon the people of the Middle East, upon the Israelis and upon the Palestinians and the Gaza Strip. Help bring them peace and help them realize that the war will not settle anything, but make hearts harden even more. Help them to work for peace, dear Father, in this troubled land. Be with us, dear Father, also that we'll realize each day as we awake that this is a day that you have made, and it's a day that we can recreate the life that we have, that we may please thee. Be with our brother Gilbert as he brings forth the message, and be with us that we may have receptive ears, for we ask in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. We want to turn your hymn up to page 804. 804. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. Of a home prepared for the saints of God, just over in the glory land, and I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, out of
I like the evil. Shall we pray? Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us with another day. We know it was you that allowed us to rise from our beds this morning, breathing into our lungs the breath of life, allowing us to enjoy another day, to be able to marvel at thy great creation, to be able to come together on this first day of the week in worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings you've given us, that we be reminded of all that you do for us each and every day. Pray that we do not take this life for granted, for we know that this life is but a vapor. Heavenly Father, we know that we are not promised tomorrow. We pray that we will take each and every moment of our life and live it in a way that is pleasing unto you, Heavenly Father. We pray that those that may not have become Christians, that they will take the steps necessary so they can have that hope at eternal salvation. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those that were mentioned sick. The list was extensive. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those during this time of need, that they would be given the care that is needed so that they may be returned to their much-wanted health. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with each and every one of us as we go through this week and as we just go through life, Heavenly Father, that we can not try to solve our problems by, you know, hating one another, Heavenly Father, by always having conflict with each other, Heavenly Father, that we should just, we should try to love one another, Heavenly Father, that we should strive to love each other, to have a understanding and realize that is the best way to resolve any issues, Heavenly Father. That we don't have to always fight. We don't always have to be angry with each other, Heavenly Father. But we can learn to follow Thy example and do things in a way that we know You will be pleased with. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that You will continue to be with this nation. We know the problems that we have. There's so much that needs to be done, Heavenly Father, to make this a better world to live in. People need to, that world leaders need to work together to deal with the problems, that we can strive for peace, Heavenly Father. We know that bloodshed, nothing good comes out of war and bloodshed, Heavenly Father, that we need to have peace. Nations need to learn to work together to be able to resolve their issues. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that You will be with our brother Gilbert Baldwin as he prepares the lesson, as he has prepared the lesson for us this morning. Pray that we'll give him the most undivided attention. Also appreciate the effort that he put together all these lessons. And we pray that with that which we learned today, that we can apply to our lives, Heavenly Father. We also pray that You will be with the leaders of this congregation that tend to the needs of this building, to the needs of this congregation. You know, as we know, Heavenly Father, that we still have to be aware of the COVID, the flu, and we know that the season is coming where we want to be careful, that we can stay healthy, and we're so thankful that the effort that they put in to make sure that we are safe and healthy as we attend worship service. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that You will watch us, watch over us, continue to keep us safe, continue to give us Your patience, you know, to always remind us that whenever we have any problems, that we don't have to take on anything alone, Heavenly Father. We know we have this avenue of prayer to come to You whenever we have anything that we cannot deal with, Heavenly Father. We know that we don't deal with anything alone. You are with us each and every step of the way. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, You continue to watch over us, continue to forgive us of our sins. For these we pray for in Thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, consider your notes on page 310. 310. It's in verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Jesus is Dear the cross of
Jesus and the disciples gathered in the upper room. The doors were closed. Then Jesus knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. As he did so, he reminded them that, as I have done this for you, so you shall do this for each other. As they sit down to eat of the meal, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he blessed it and said, "Eat of this, for this is my flesh." He then poured out the cup of wine. He gave it to them and said, "This is my blood of the covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." And this is the example that he has given us each first day of the week, that we should gather around as a family to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he gave himself so freely for us. This is the method that he has given to us to remember him by each and every day. But on the first day of the week, is a somber day to remember his blessings for us. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for this blessing that we have. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that you gave so freely of yourself. Father, we thank you that we have these examples before us that we may remember you each and every day of the week. But most of all, Father, we thank you that on this day we can thank you with your example that you showed us. For Father, what a blessing it is to be able to do this with our family. And we look forward to the day that we're able to partake of this with you in heaven. Father, we ask that that day may come soon, if it be your will. For we know that it'll be such a glorious day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so grateful and so thankful for the privilege and honor we have to partake of this cup. It represents the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. His precious blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. His precious blood that make atones for our sins. We are grateful and we are thankful to partake of this cup in his memory. But we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Has everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper? If you have not, please signal now by raising your hand. I see no hands, so we will continue. We also have the wonderful and blessed opportunity to be able to give back as we've been prospered. But it's not as we've been prospered, but it's by the love that we have been shown by our Lord Jesus Christ. In establishing his church, he set up a way that we might be able to give back to him, that we might be able to grow his kingdom. It also helps in partaking of different things in the church that we might be able to help each other. This is the time that we have set aside now to take up a collection that we might be able to help the kingdom grow as we bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that we're able to give back to you. But Father, we ask that as you have given so freely to us, we ask that we give to you not grudgingly, but with an open and free heart, knowing that the blessings that we have, our cup indeed overflows. Father, we have been so blessed as a nation and as a family, and we ask that we're able to help each other in this way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you would, mark the hymn books to page 572. 572, that will be our cause of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 794. 794. We'll sing all three verses. I'd like to add all of the handstand to stand.
No tears in heaven, no sorrow given, all will be glory in heaven. There will be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join the happy band. There will be no tears in heaven, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have gone. There'll be no tears. There'll be no tears. No tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting on yonder, where we shall spend an endless day. My Savior will be forever, where no more sorrow can despair. And there'll be no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow.
Today's sermon will be read from Genesis chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. Genesis 3, chapter 9 through 13. Once again, Genesis chapter 3, 9 through 13, and it says the following. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Today's sermon is Who Told You That? By Brother Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone. Good to be in the house of God. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The reason why we are here for worship is so that those who don't know the Lord can come to a better understanding and a better knowledge of him and accept him as Lord and Savior according to his plan. Another purpose is to share the gospel in its pure and simple form. This gospel is so simple that even a child can understand just what God requires if you want to be saved. Then in doing so, we try to edify the church, those who are members, baptized believers. It ought to just lift up your heart. It ought to thrill your soul every time you hear this glorious gospel preached. It ought to let you know that you are following the right plan, the right man, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning we want to say to all of our guests, to all of our visitors, welcome. We're certainly happy you've come our way today, and we hope your visit is going to be a good one. We hope it's going to be so good that you decide you're going to come back and visit with us one more time. We're thankful for your presence today. I don't think it is a coincidence for any of us to be assigned to this place at this time. So whoever you are, I want you to know that you are here for a purpose. The Bible states in Genesis 3 in the verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Well, this lesson today is based on that question that God asked Adam. You know, I realize that sometimes you just can't get people to answer a simple question. You know, I found out in life that if you're not the right person asking the question, you just may not get an answer. But you know, God needs an answer this morning. I want you to keep in mind now that it is God asking the questions this morning. I am a messenger. I'm the messenger. Remember now, God is the one who's asking the questions. So the subject this morning is, who told you that? Who told you that? You see, we must all answer God. Everybody will give an answer to God. We'll either answer him this morning, or we'll answer him one day, maybe even in judgment. So since we've got to give an answer, it may as well be today. Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 9, the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, God knew where Adam was, make no mistake about it. But he wanted Adam to to take an inward look at himself. I want you to understand now how we got to this point. You see, in the beginning, God created man, put him in the garden. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat of thereof, thou shalt surely die. Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Well, we thank God for realizing that, right? Not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. We're thankful for that because I need help. I'm not too proud to admit that. You know, sometimes when you have important decisions to make, sometimes you need a second opinion or a third. I sometimes get a fourth opinion on it. Well, the point being, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. So now we find ourselves in the garden. Somebody has eaten of the tree that God told them not to eat. So then God asked the question, where are you? In other words, he knew that where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to take that look at his own actions. So where are you, Adam? And his truthful answer should have been, I'm over here hiding because I've sinned against you. Can we think of that question and apply it to our own lives this morning? God is asking us some questions this morning. He said, where are you in the sight of God? Where are you this morning in your personal relationship with God? Where are you? Are you somewhere hiding? Or can you approach God's throne boldly? So where are you? Where are you as a Christian? Are you even a Christian? Well, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Bible states in Romans chapter 8 and verses 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So I can live a life without condemnation. The word therefore no is no, simply no. So God is not angry with me. I'm not condemned. Now, it doesn't say therefore there are no mistakes or there are no sins or there are no mistakes or anything that's wrong. It doesn't say that. So that means we all sin, don't we? We all fail, don't we? We all make mistakes, don't we? But are we condemned? Paul says absolutely, positively, no. And the reason is because of God's grace. So if you are feeling condemned this morning, it may be that you are not where you are supposed to be with God. Because if you are in your right place, there is no condemnation. So if you're not there, there's a reason for you to be feeling lonely. A reason you should be feeling like you are hiding from God. You're somewhere hiding, feeling condemned. The Bible says, though, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we've got to walk after the Spirit. So where are you? Are you a faithful Christian this morning? Remember, I'm not the one asking these questions, okay? Where do you stand in your obedience to God? Are you serving God daily? Or do you have to go and hide certain times of the day? Do you have to go and hide certain times of the night? Or can you just walk freely in the eyesight of God this morning? Are you a faithful, diligent soldier of the cross? If you have need for improvement, will you improve? That's the question. So where are you? Now, you cannot ignore these questions that God is asking. All of us must give an answer to these questions. We all must take a self-assessment of ourselves, right? Where are we with God? Sometimes people will say, well, I don't know where I am with God. I feel like I'm doing all right, but I really don't know. I don't know if I'm in the right standing relationship with God. Well, if you really want to know, you just take your Bibles. You go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know where we stand with God. It's not that difficult to find out where we are standing. All we have to do is give ourselves a self-examination. So you open up the Word of God, and if your life does not line up with what God's Word says, then you are not in a right standing relationship with God. So where are you, Adam? That was one of the questions. Where are you? That's the first question. The second question is, who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee not to eat thereof? The second question, who told you that you were naked? Adam answered the first time he asked in verse 10 when he asked, where art thou? He said, I'm somewhere hiding. Then, verse number 11, God asked a pertinent question. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? You ever ask someone a question and let's look at this question for a moment. Have you ever told your child, for instance, to do something and they went and did something else? Well, who told you that? Because I know what I told you. Yeah, that's what God is saying here. I know, Adam, what I told you. I know that you've done wrong. We go over here to Genesis chapter 2, verses 17. Now, God knows what he told Adam. He knew that. Here, Adam is coming up with some excuse. You know, oftentimes when we talk to people about religious matters, let's say at work or in the store, or you may be at the gym or just on the street, some of the answers they give you, all you can do is just shake your head. I do that. You really want to reach over and shake them, but you can't do that. All right. Who told you that? Well, you know, so-and-so told me that. Well, listen to this. See, when it comes to God, the only place you can get the right answer is God. Come on, somebody. So when somebody says to you, well, you know what? All you're going to need is a little faith and you can be saved. Yeah, honey, if you just have a little faith, you got your ticket to heaven. Yeah, just look at them and say, who told you that? Because when I go to the Word of God, James chapter 2 and the verses 24, you see here, he says, by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So who told you that all you've got to have is some faith and that's good enough to get you in? That's not what God says. It takes more than just faith. Here people say sometimes, you know, well, I'm not baptized. I don't think you really have to be baptized. The Lord can knows what you're talking about, and they'll do like this. Lord and I, we like this. I say, okay. I want to ask them, who told you that? Because when I open up the Bible over to Mark 16, here's what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, who told you that baptism was not essential? So that's what God is saying here. He's asking Adam these questions. He says, I know what I told you, Adam. So, since when did you start listening to somebody else? I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who's taking care of you and your family. So why are you going to listen to somebody else? You know, I keep studying with folk from time to time, and they'll say, well, you know, over there at your church, you all just don't take communion every Sunday. You know, you don't have to partake of the Lord's Supper every week. You know what I ask them? Who told you that? Because the Lord's Supper is something that God is in control of. Am I right? So let's see what the Word says about the Lord's Supper. We're going over to Acts chapter 20, and the verse is 7. It says, and upon the first day of the week, on the first day of the week. Did it say the first Sunday of each month? No, it didn't. Didn't I say that? So who told you that? Who says the first day of the month? First Sunday. God didn't say that. It says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Somebody said, well, that's what the apostles did. Well, don't you know we are to follow the example of the apostles? All right, back to Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Why? Because that's what the word tells them to do. And on the same day, there were added unto them about, listen, 3,000 souls. So don't tell me baptism is not essential, because in one day, they made sure that 3,000 people went down in the water. So it must be essential. They didn't reschedule that thing. They did it that day. Now listen to what it says in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So that means the way that we worship should be the way that the apostles worship. Then they go to talking about that breaking of the bread. They said, follow the examples when to take the bread, the Lord's Supper. Go back to Acts 20 and verse number 7. It says, on the first day of the week, they partook of the Lord's Supper. So who told you that it was just the first Sunday of each month? Whoever told you that doesn't have a problem with what it says when we should give. You see, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, concerning the collection on the first day of the week, it says to give. Now see, when it came to that collection, they didn't mess that part up. They are passing that plate around. They don't just pass it around only on the first Sunday of the month. They're passing that plate around the first Sunday of each week. So who told them the difference in that? In other words, we got to follow the example. We got to follow the example of the apostles. Do what the word tells us to do. They got that part right. You know, I got scripture right here that says on the first day of the week, this says to pay up. I know this preaching doesn't go over very well with a lot of people, but what does God say? Preach the word. He said, preach it when they like it. Preach it when they don't like it. He said, preach it when they don't even like you. Be instant, in season, out of season. So who told you that? There are a lot of people going around saying, you know, now with this modern technology that we have, on Sundays, there are a lot of religious programs on TV, radio, and streaming, and podcasts. So Oh, you just get up. Don't even have to get up. Drink your coffee, stay in your pajamas, and you had worship service. I said, who told you that? That's nonsense. See, if you are physically able to attend worship service, you're supposed to attend. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We come together for a lot of purposes. We give one another encouragement when we come together. Somebody might have a question that they want to ask you when we come together. So who told you you didn't have to come together for worship service? Sure wasn't God. God didn't say that. I wonder if God is looking down on certain folk right now and saying, I put my word out here for you. You don't have to go around guessing as to what to do. Just look at what I tell you. We live in a world now where everybody thinks, you know, just any kind of faith is okay. You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. And you do whatever you want to do. You go to worship any kind of way. That sounds a little bit like Burger King, doesn't it? Have it your way. But who told you that? Because when you go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter is 4, verse 5, it says, how many faiths are there? All right, let's see. You ask people, and they'll say, well, there are so many faiths out there, you can just pick one, whatever you like, whatever fits your lifestyle. Come on. We live in a country that says, you know, in God we trust. But we don't want to offend anybody. So we're not going to pray. We take prayer out of schools, right? Things got worse. But when a catastrophe comes along and strikes, the government calls for a national day of prayer. Take prayer out of schools. Take out God's protection after tragedies. And then, you know, everybody is, God bless America. We got to get it straight. So God's saying, you asking me to bless you and you don't want to even tell people about me? What kind of nonsense is that? We don't want to talk about God. Then we turn right around and say, bless us, God. Who told you that? Who told you you could serve just whatever faith you wanted to and that's okay? God didn't say that. When we go in our Bibles over to Ephesians, the chapter is 4, begin with verse 5, it says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One, that one is not that hard to understand, right? You can't mess up one. So who told you that you could just serve any faith you want? Who told you you don't have to strive to be your very best for Christ? Who told you you could just sit back in the pews when you come to worship and that's all you have to do? Who told you you don't have to be a light to those who live in darkness? Sure wasn't God. So who was it? You know, it's good for everyone every now and then just to stop and think of the source of their information. Remember, when we go back and look at the information that Adam and Eve received, the question is, who told you that? But God knew. Remember now, if it's not from God, there must be somebody else that's lying low behind the scene, getting all excited about the fact that you're not doing what God tells you to do. His name is Satan. You see, these doctrines that are not of God, the only person that could come up with something outside of God is the spirit of evil. The spirit of evil. I know some don't want to hear that, but listen, it was Satan who told Adam and Eve to do something other than what God had told them. Don't know now. Remember, Satan, he's not noticeable. You never know you're dealing with him sometimes. Because, well, if he walked around with horns growing out of his head, red suit on with tails, with or without a pitchfork, you would know it was Satan and you wouldn't have anything to do with him. But he knows how to disguise himself. He knows how to cover up. Then he asked the third question. He says, have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of? Just in Genesis 3:11, God knew now that Adam had eaten of the tree, but he wanted Adam to see his own sin. It was important for Adam to see his own sin, getting people to see their own sin, recognize their own sin. It's kind of difficult to do because it's easier to look at somebody else and say, oh, look at what they're doing, right? So God is asking, have you done something that I've asked you not to do? He's asking all of us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So if you have sinned, you need to get that right. You need to get that right this morning. Don't keep walking around like everything is okay, because it's not. You know, Adam tried to blame his sin on Eve. Yes, he did. But he didn't just try to blame it on Eve. He tried to blame it on God on the sly. He said, that woman you gave her to me, and she tricked me. You know, we're always trying to find some excuse for ourselves. And then Eve, she tried to blame Satan. Nobody wanted to take responsibility for what they had done. I guess that's human nature. Not to want to admit when you're guilty. Most of the time, if we've done something wrong, we try to prove and justify why we did it. Well, if they had never done this, I would have never done that. Well, you yelled at me. That's why I yelled at you. I didn't cook because you didn't cut the grass. Start taking out the trash, and maybe I'll clean up. Don't blame one another, people. Pray for one another. Work together, right? Finally, God asked them another question. Genesis 3:13, he said, what is this that thou hast done? What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. What God is trying to do here is trying to get her to consider the seriousness of her sin, the severity of her sin. What God is trying to do this morning is trying to get us to recognize how serious it is to sin, how serious it is to be outside of His will, how serious it is to be hiding from Him. What have you done? Sometimes the answer to what have you done is nothing. What have I done in serving the Lord? The answer is sometimes nothing. Have I done anything to serve the Lord? Well, the answer is you just sat by, didn't take any active part in anything that had to do with the church. You've done nothing. There is seriousness in the things that we have done or have not done. So let's stop overlooking these things. God has asked us some revealing questions this morning. Where are you in your relationship with God? If you're not a child of God, you need to become one. You need to become one today. How? By hearing the gospel, which you just heard. Romans 10:17, by believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ to be the Son of God. And then you accept him in baptism. If someone told you otherwise, who told you that? Who told you? So if you strayed away this morning, you need to come back. You need to be restored to the body of Christ. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice today while together we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust in him. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to be my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Brother Gilbert, thank you for the great sermon.